And my friends, like I told the evening crowd on Thursday, the midweek service, God's not going to lead you to a rock concert, a Beyonce concert, amen, even though she's from Texas, amen. She's not going to lead you to one of these rap concerts or rock concerts. And let me take it a step further, a country concert.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry, Brother Nickerson. The Holy Spirit's not going to do that, amen. And the problem with many of us, we think, because we feel a certain way, that it's God permitting us or allowing us to go. I'm going to tell you this, he permits you to go, but it doesn't mean you should go.
Amen. That's right.
Right? God is a merciful God. God is a gracious God. So for me to say, well, you know what? I like, well, I'm not going to tell you what I like, because the world, but I like a certain group. They're in Tyler. Praise the Lord. I hope they're not ever. They're in Tyler. I'm going to go to it because the Spirit is leading you to. It's going to make you feel good. Plus, my kids can go see. First of all, why would you expose your kids to that kind of lifestyle? That kind of living? It's not real. It's entertainment, right? What does it entertain? God? Does it bring glorification to God? What are we here for?
God.
To glorify God in everything we do. In the music we listen to, and what we consume, and what we see. So the reason I got into this subject of who is the Holy Spirit? Because I don't want us to misinterpret an experience. I was 13 years old when I almost drowned. And then I told the story too. I didn't tell the story, but I explained. And it was a big chunky man. He was shirtless, amen, and all that water dripping off him. Well, I was sweat. I don't know what it was. Big bearded man. That's what I came to. Amen. When he resuscitated me. Amen. Gave me CPR. Amen. And that's what I had to see. And I'm like, what in the world? Praise the Lord for that guy. Amen. Praise the Lord. God used him for some reason. Amen. I'm here. But it's like saying, man, God saved me. Well, he physically saved me. Praise the Lord, right? Use that man, shirtless man. He saved me. He was like a rug. He saved me. But I can't go around my life saying, oh, I'm saved through that experience. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. Following, saving my soul from eternal condemnation. That was an experience that I physically experienced. Praise the Lord, I didn't drown and go to heaven, because I was saved by that time. But physically, he saved me. I think sometimes we misinterpret what the Holy Spirit is, and we're like, yeah, I'm saved, because God saved me from a wreck, from a railroad track, or God saved me from drowning when I was 13. No, that's not salvation. That's not eternal salvation. That's a physical, temporary salvation, right? Follow me? So we need to understand who God is. And God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to a Beyonce concert. Amen. You don't have to like it. It's true. And we're going to find out who is the Holy Spirit on Thursdays. If you want to get to know him better, come. Amen. If you don't and want to stay the same, it's fine. Struggle with what you're going to struggle with. But understand, that's the supernatural part of this relationship, God. That new creature, that's the Holy Spirit, amen? That kills that old man, those old desires, those old wants, those old thoughts. It's the God, the Holy Spirit. You got the Spirit of God living in you, and yet we live defeated, as if we're defeated, yeah. As if we're depressed, yeah. As if we're disappointed, as if we don't have hope. You might not have hope. I have God, the Spirit of God living in me. But Pastor, your back hurts. I have the Spirit of God living in me. I have purpose. You have purpose if you're saved. So let's live on purpose.
Amen.
So the title of my message is this: you can't fake fruit. You can't fake fruit. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5. I want you to see, the Bible says, but the fruit. Pause. I'm not an English major, but I like picking out specific things. Fruit. Is that singular or plural? Come on now.
Singular
or plural?
Singular.
Okay, listen. I know we were in the Texas education school system here. Okay, I went to it. But I learned, please correct me if I'm wrong, if you put an S after this word, it's what?
Plural.
Plural. So is this singular or plural?
Single. Singular.
It's singular. Look, this is the interesting thing about English. It's so specific. But it all comes in a package. You see that? Or do we see it? It's a single package. Follow me? So, the single package, the fruit of the Spirit is what? This is what comes in the package, okay? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no what? Against this package that God gives us, the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, a tree, an apple tree, doesn't have to have a sign on it to say apple tree. All you can tell, or the evidence that that is an apple tree, you look at the what? Fruit. Now, it's not just one fruit, right? There's many fruits in there. I get that. But understand, the Christian life has evidence by how we react with love, joy, peace, love. You follow me? The package. When your wife, sir, disagrees with you, do you have the fruit of the Spirit? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate that, Brother Jeremiah, because sometimes I don't have it. Amen. Sometimes another fruit comes out. Amen. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It's the fruit of the flesh. Amen. What about when the kids? I don't know. Press a button there, like an emotional button. You know, you're watching your favorite show. Amen. Or you're on the phone with somebody. Amen. Or, man, and they keep asking the same question over and over. You already gave them an answer like 1,000 times, amen? But they still, repetition is the key to learning. They still believe in that law. And so they keep repeating the same question over and over and over again. And you have to remind them and say, no. But you react with spiritual love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness? Or do you respond with anger, amen? Amen? Understand what we're talking about? Okay. All right. One of the greatest misconceptions of Christianity is this, that spiritual maturity is measured by how many times we go to church, or how much money we give, or how loud we sing, or who's the one preaching. That's not how you measure spiritual maturity. That's not. Spiritual maturity, so you and I can understand, is measured by what's growing in your life. Spiritually, are you better off than you were last year? That's what it is. You might be growing right now in a season of patience. We look at you, you're red, hot, you know, sorry, I'm not trying to be offensive, okay? Redneck, amen? And, you know, it's not because of the color of your neck, amen, because you're around the sun. It's just, you're mad upset right now. But God's probably growing your patience. What? Yeah. This is what we have a misconception about. We think, oh, that person's not right with God. That person's probably more right with God than many of us. Because they're showing patience. They're not showing themselves a fool. They're keeping it inside and they're trying to show you some joy. Amen. They want you to see some love and experience some gentleness. Amen. Because they have to use temperance, which is self-control, to not blow up. Guess what that is? The fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It's for free. You don't have to pay me. I'm just trying to tell you. That's how this works. It's not what we think spirituality should look like at all. You know, you might look at the pastor and say, by the way, thank you for any respect and honor you have toward the position or toward me based off the character. But understand, that's not how you measure spirituality. You measure it when you're at home, how you treat others. When you're at work, how you treat others. When no one's looking, that's spiritual maturity. And my friends, the goal here is to show you that Christianity doesn't prove, like, I'm a Christian, but I don't have to prove to you or to anybody that I belong to Christ. I don't have to sing so you can think, oh, he belongs to Christ. I don't have to preach so you can say, oh, he belongs to Christ. See, the way I prove it is by the fruit of my what? Life. How I treat my wife, how I treat my children, how I treat you. That's how you can tell the fruit of my life. And I want you to understand that's how we can tell the fruit of your life. What do you mean? By what you produce. Amen? There's no way around this. There's no way around it. Galatians, did we read all of it? Yeah, go to Matthew 7:20.
I don't have it.
All right, turn your Bibles to Matthew 7:20. Praise the Lord. God wants us to turn to our Bibles. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and read it for the sake of time. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall what? The question isn't how loud I can sing or how many verses I can memorize. By the way, all that is good. Okay, it is good. You should do that. But it's not based on how many years you've been in church. The question is this. Is the Holy Spirit producing fruit in my life? Here's a thought for you so you can understand. Those of us that try to work at this, we're not perfect. None of us have a right. Amen? Is that fair? None of us have a right. But some of us that work on patience, I don't have it. Please don't pray for it. Please, I don't need that prayer in my life. Some of you are like, I don't like these passages. I don't pray for patience. Okay. Amen? I will pray double for you. Amen? But some of us that have discovered this thing about patience, it's almost like you get this insight. Because again, what is it? The application of the doctrine? The powers and the application of
the
life of a doctrine. The life of a teaching of the Word of God.
It's
in the application. What do you mean? In obeying the Word of God. So when you obey the Word of God, you're like, I'm going to obey you, God. I'm not perfect at being patient. Amen. I just lost it. But I'm going to work at it. What we figured out is this, that the fruit of the Spirit of God, it's visible. It's evidence that Jesus is living in us. That's the difference. Some people think they have to live this fake life with a fake smile. That's not real. That's why we're trying to be as transparent as possible here. We're sinners saved by what? And what we want to understand is this. Here's the first point. That there's evidence, okay, of the Spirit living in us. The fruit of the Spirit is about what? Changing, transformation, not
information.
Knowledge, not information. Galatians 5, 22, 23, again. But the fruit of the Spirit. And I know I explained that. It's one complete package. But you have to understand, who do you think has this? Who was the author of this? Who lived like this? Okay, Paul, maybe later after he wasn't a Pharisee. But who do you think lived like this? It's okay. You know what I like? I'd rather you try and fail than I try at all. Jesus. This is the complete package of a Christ-like character. You want to know what Jesus thought? There you go. These men were inspired by who? The Holy Ghost. Right? Men of old. God used them as pens. So you have to understand, this is coming from somewhere. The Holy Ghost only speaks of not himself, but of Christ. This is the complete package of a character like Christ. Now, how many of you are perfect at this? Raise your hand. If you are, I'd like to follow you. No, okay. I follow Jesus. Amen. But I'd like for you to help me with some of this stuff. The point here is this. I cannot manufacture true love. I cannot manufacture joy. I can't. You know what I can't manufacture? Because I'm a sinner. You don't have to teach me to lie. You don't have to teach me to cheat. Guess what? I don't have to teach you to lie. I don't have to teach you to cheat. Because we're what? That's our sinful nature. Those are the qualities we have. We don't have Christ-like character. So we need a supernatural being called the Spirit of God living in us to help us with these supernatural characters. You know what my supernatural character is? Selfish. Why doesn't nobody tell me, oh, Pastor, you need help? When, call the ambulance. Amen. Thank you. Amen. What are you talking about, Pastor? Nobody wants to hear my whining and complaining. But I want pity sometimes.
Amen.
Do you? Can I tell you that's not Christ-like character? This is a Christ-like character. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to be mean, that you don't need some compassion, because Jesus had compassion, but that's love. Right? That's love. That's not to enable your what? Selfish needs. Right? Now, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because, again, what we manufacture are selfish flesh desires. What these things are, these qualities, are produced by divine power called the Holy Spirit. So, you and I need to understand that fruit is something that grows because the tree is healthy, right? So if you're healthy, guess what's going to grow? Spiritually. Love. Let's say love for your spouse, love for your children, love for your pastor, love for your church, joy. When you're around your spouse, when you're around your children, hopefully when you're around your pastor, when you're around your church, joy. Peace. When you're in the workplace, praise the Lord, to your manager, that's very toxic. Long-suffering. That's like another word for patience. Yeah? People that can't keep their word. No? Yeah? Okay. That's for free. Gentleness. When somebody mistreats you, but you want to retaliate, you don't. Are we awake this morning?
Amen.
Yeah. We can't fake fruit. You can't fake it. That's what we know. That we try. Those of us that try and fail. That's what we know. And here's the reality. We're just trying to get you to say, hey, look, get over the fakeness and here. Embrace it. It's only going to be done by a supernatural power. It's called God. None of us are perfect at it. None of us. Come on, man. The water's fine. What are you doing? Why are you limiting God today? Why are you limiting the Holy Spirit in your life today? You already do the whole thing. You already go through the motions. You already come to church. You already tithe. You already read your Bible. You already sing the song. But you lack the power. No, Pastor. And your marriages. No, Pastor. And your families. No, Pastor. And your church. And your service for God. We'd rather be recognized. We'd rather be say, hey, accolades, applause. Hey, look at me. I forget that. Get over yourself, right? I had to learn that. I had to get over myself. Whether I'm preaching to two people or my family, sometimes my family doesn't want to hear me preach, so don't feel bad. Or the crowd. We need to understand this is a supernatural thing. What we're asking is for us to say, look, admit, we don't have it all together, right? In order to get this package, it's a supernatural package. You know who you have, if you're saved, in your life right now? The Spirit of the Living God. You have the character life. Christ characteristics. You have it. But if you don't apply them, right? If you don't obey the word of God, when you're going through it and you're mad, and how do you want to react? How do we want to react? In the flesh?
Yeah.
Wrong? But this is the part where you do it supernaturally. The fruit of the Spirit is about transformation. It's about change. It's not just about knowing and having knowledge. Isn't it just about information? I want us to understand that it's the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'll try to hurry. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, here you go. Does it say he modifies, he renews? He is
a new creature.
A new. Newly built. It's not remanufactured. Praise the Lord. It's a new you. You get it? That old you is there. But it's your choice. You want to put off the old you? Then put it off. It's your choice. The old you that was angry, that would lose it? The old you that didn't care what anybody thought? Didn't care to hurt people's feelings? The old you? Put them off. Put her off. It's a new. New. Creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? You come to the same knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Until that day of redemption. I want us to understand 2 Corinthians 5:17. Salvation is not simply saying, hey, I'm going to have a new leaf on life. No, man, it's about a change. Amen? It's about a change. Understand that it is receiving a new life. You say, Pastor, I thought God improved the old man. No, you thought wrong.
Yeah.
Amen. I thought wrong. I thought the old Ezekiel was going to be good. Man, that old Ezekiel is good for nothing.
Right.
Yes, I'm okay with that. I'm not trying to degrade myself or talk little about myself. I'm trying to talk up about God. The change that's taking place in my life couldn't have been done with the old Ezekiel. That old Ezekiel was bitter. He was hurt. Follow me? That inner child still speaks to me, but hey, I gotta suppress it. God, why me? Zeke, why not you? My son went through the suffering. Why not you? Right?
Right.
Who do I think I am? My friends, understand that God doesn't just improve the old man. When Christ changes the heart, guess what? That change takes place. Philippians 1:11. Being filled with the what?
Fruits.
Here you go, plural now, right?
Fruits.
What does the singular produce? Plural. Fruits of?
Righteousness.
Oh, that's going to a Beyonce concert. I don't know why I'm on a Beyonce kick, you know? But she's from Texas, you know? Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit didn't lead you to no concert. Okay? You would know that if you obey the Holy Spirit, amen? You would understand your behavior would change. The Holy Spirit would not want you to go see, again, I don't know exactly what all they do over there, but, you know, dancing, moving around, or whatever it is that they promote. Do you think that's righteousness? That's the fruit of righteousness? Especially trying to expose my kids to that? Oh, but she's from Houston. So? There are better role models for my children than exposing somebody from my city. You follow me? Which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Here, simply put, righteous living is the evidence that, guess what? Jesus Christ is working in us, that the Holy Spirit is working in us. The Christian life is not just behavior that's been modified. What it is, it's spiritual transformation. It's a change that's taking place, or a change that's taking place in your heart. That's spiritual, okay? How many of you have a time in your life where you purge things out of your life? Raise your hand. I'm going to raise my hand. We do this with our family. Why? Because we're not perfect. Amen? And it's not necessarily that there's sinful things in our life, but we do too much of something. And I'm like, yeah, it's distracting us from focusing what God's purpose for our life is. So, you know, we do it like what? And what is that? New Year's resolution? Sometimes people do it that time. I know some things are about diets and things, but that's not what I'm talking about, because everybody breaks their word on that one. I'm talking about spiritual things, right? I'm talking about, hey, this year, bless God, I'm going to call my mom every single day. Now, I would never make that mistake, amen? I'm just a little bit too busy. My mom knows and understands. I love her. But when I do call her more than I did last year. And it's not saying much, okay? But there's some types of decisions we make, right? Where we say, you know what? I'm going to be hanging out with this crowd. It's not sinful. But let me give you an example so that way God don't get offended, okay? We do a lot of baseball with our family. What I don't ever want to happen is that that crowd takes the place of this crowd. You follow me? And as long as I'm breathing and living, it's not going to happen. But here's the truth. And some of those people are, man, sorry, brother neighbors, they're nicer than you are. Amen? They treat me well. Amen? Some of them remember my birthday. Amen? I'm going to be honest with you. Some of them were there when I needed them the most. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, church, but if you feel bad, praise the Lord. I'm just trying to say, they were there. But they're not going to replace you. You know why? God didn't give them to me. God gave me you so I could serve. That's the truth. So, no offense, it's not because I like you. I like some of you, and I like you, brother Nicholson. But it's because of this. This is the invitation God gave me to serve his people. Why is that important? Because it might be that those people could become a what? Distraction. You follow me? Because I like them. The same way I like, you know, different bad types of music. I like it. That's why I don't listen to it. Oh, Pastor, there's nothing you hate? No, I don't hate. I'm sorry. Some people lie to you, and I'm not going to lie to you. I like it. That's why I don't listen to it, because I know it's wrong. So I don't listen to it. Amen. That's all. But here's the truth. It doesn't mean I should yield to that. You know what I want to surrender to? The Holy Spirit in my life. Not what I like. I want to see God change lives the way He changed my life. And my friends, I want you to ask yourself, am I becoming more like Jesus than I was last year? That's the question. Do my family members see the spiritual growth in my life? Do my coworkers describe me as someone that's different? Here's the thing. Growth may be slow, but it should be visible. If we are like the world, think about a tree that doesn't produce fruit. There's something what? Wrong. You have to understand that a farmer never plants, goes to the field after he plants a seed the next day and expects to see the harvest, right? That's not how that works. Growth takes time, doesn't it? So, in many months, if they pass, I'm talking to you, and nothing grows, what do you think? If that doesn't happen to a farmer, he's going to think what? Something wrong. Spiritually speaking, if the seed of the Word of God is not taking root, there's something wrong. See, God didn't just save you to change your destination. He saved you and I to change our disposition, who we are, how we look, how we live, how we behave. If Jesus lives inside of you, if He lives inside of me, eventually, guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to take notice, right? They're going to say, man, there's something different about this man. Hey, there's something different about this lady. Hey, there's something different about this young lady. There's something different about this young man, right? There's something different about this boy, this girl. I want you to understand that it's not just looking religious on Sunday. You know what it's about, what Christianity is about? Are you acting like the world on Monday? Remember the three lives? Public life that I talk about? Private life? Public, private, and then secret life? That's where the Holy Spirit helps us. Stay in tune. What you see here, my children should see at home. No, not with a suit and a tie. But I'm talking about spiritually, right? The way I behave, the way I react. And they can tell you, I'm not perfect. They can tell you. But they'll tell you too, hey, you know what? My dad didn't react right. But you know what? Something my dad always does? He doesn't let the sun go. What is it?
Down.
Okay, girl. All right. Learn some verses. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Does not let, the sun go down upon the wrath. What do you mean? I might be angry, but eventually, Zeke will tell you, I butt head with him. Amen. He has a bigger head, though. And then Haley, amen. She butts heads with me. Her head is stronger, amen. But what would I do? Eventually they'll tell you, hey, he'll come and apologize if he's wrong. That's hard. Sorry, Brother Garrett. I like being right, amen. That's wrong. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. That's hard for me. Amen. Thank you. See, everybody over here thinks, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. He's the same, man. Thank you, brother Garrett. It's tough. I know, it's tough. We have a hard job. But the truth is, when you have that supernatural power helping you, right? When you have the Holy Ghost, guess what the Holy Ghost is going to do in your heart? It's not about being perfect. Ask my wife, amen? She knows that I am. But it's not about that. It's about this thing. Are you able to respond the right way? See, that's the change. That's fruits of the righteousness. You know what most of us do? Unwilling to give forgiveness to the offender. Unwilling to let go of that grudge. Man, you'll wait till like a week. Well, I don't know, man. You'll wait a month, amen. I'm trying to hit. A year, amen. That's not worth it. You're limiting the Holy Spirit. You're quenching the Holy Spirit and what they can do. I mean, what it can do in your life. And my friends, the whole point is this. Jesus, if he lives inside of you, eventually somebody's going to notice. Right? The way you behave, the way you act. The Holy Spirit just didn't move into my heart to become my roommate. Amen? Young person, that's not what the Holy Spirit does. Amen? Here's what he does do. Man, this was a tough one for me, Brother Heath, because I'm right most of the time. Man, he moved in my heart to be my master. I'm like, wait, hold up. My master. Second point, the fruit of the Spirit changes how we treat others. Galatians 5:22, again, we know about the love and the joy, but John 13:35. These are the background in red. Right here is going to represent the words of Jesus, okay? So this is said by Jesus. By this shall all men what?
Know.
That ye are my
disciples.
If ye attend regularly church.
No.
Help me out here. If ye tithe faithfully. No? But we're talking about his disciples. If ye win souls all the time. By the way, we should win souls. We're coming. I'm not giving you or me an excuse why not to do it. I'm just trying to pinpoint. I'm just putting things in perspective, okay? And the truth. If ye what? Have loved one to
another.
There goes the religious stuff. I'm not saying don't go sowing. I'm not saying don't memorize verses. I'm not saying don't read your Bible. Please do so. But that's not how people are going to know if you're real. If you're a Christian. People are going to realize what, I think Jesus is really the one telling us what Jesus says. People are not going to know us by our church building. Praise the Lord when we get to building. Oh, by the way, I've been saying it wrong. I said in 2027 we're going to start building, right? But that's part of the third year. That's a complete year, man, where we're doing the building fund, right? I'm so sorry about that. Somebody told me that, I'm like, wait, what? And it's true, amen. The 2027 is going to be a complete year for the building fund, amen. I thought we started, you know, earlier, but no, we started 25. So 25, 26. Sorry, the pastor's a little slow, amen. Pray for me. But Jesus is saying, look, people are not going to know you or people are not going to know us by your clothing or by your denomination. How about that? They're going to know us by our what?
Love.
My children are going to know if I love Jesus by how I love them. You're going to know if I love Jesus by how much I love you. My wife is going to know if I love Jesus by how I love her. See how this works? I want us to understand that the fruit of the Spirit changes how we what? Treat people. So when I'm preaching these messages, let the pastor preach the way he's going to preach. Amen. Deliver the message. But you're not anybody's pastor. Sometimes what we do, we make the mistake, we get the Bible, we're like, they're not right with God. See, it's the fruit of the Spirit. No, no, no. Calm down. Let the pastor. Right? You know what everyone else should be doing? Love one another. Embrace where people are at. Right? That's what it should be. Everybody here is not a pastor. No offense, okay? Please don't get offended. If God has called you to pastor, listen, I'll be a big supporter for you, okay? I want you to do God's will for your life. But let the pastor the sheep. Because God is giving him a message for the sheep. What the sheep need to do is move along, right? Follow Jesus. And what does Jesus say? How are people going to know you're a follower, a disciple of me? If you what? Love one another. Right? Ephesians 4:31-32. Let all bitterness, oh man, I love this, and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be what?
Put away.
Put away.
You.
Strong words. Put away. Can you choose to not be bitter?
Yes.
Can you choose not to be wrathful?
Yes.
Can you choose to put away anger? Can you choose to put away clamor, evil speaking? Yes or no?
Yes.
Be put away from you with all malice. Next. Well, what am I supposed to put on? And be ye what?
Kind.
Kind. One to another. You know why people like coming to our church? Because we're welcoming. We have this spirit about us. And when I say spirit, an attitude, but also the spirit of God obviously working here. We're welcoming. It's very warm. Let the pastor, you know, be the bad guy, okay? But there should not be anybody in here, in our church, that feels ostracized. You know, there should be nobody. In other words, we shouldn't push somebody away or shun someone because they're not like us or they don't smell like us. I don't know exactly really the differences, amen? But here's the truth. Everyone in here should feel like they're a part of the church family. You know how they can do that? How they can feel that? Be ye kind. It doesn't finish there, though, right? One to another. It's a two-way street. Right? So we're going to treat people kind, and we're going to be warm and welcoming to people, but they got to do their part too, right? We understand that? But let it never be said about us that we're not kind. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, two-way street. Even as what? God, for Christ's sake, hath what? Forgiven you. I want us to understand that the fruit of the Spirit changes how we treat other people. Ephesians here is just saying pretty much that this is what the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces. Bitterness decreases when what? Kindness increases. There will be less people that are bitter against you when you are more kind to people. I'm not saying compromising. That's not kindness. Okay? Oh, yeah, they're like cursing every other word. I'm not going to expose my ears to that. I'll be kind to you by keeping you at a distance, bro. Amen? Because I'm not going to expose my kids to that. Amen? I'm going to set boundaries. I'm kind to you. I'm not keeping you out of church. Amen? By the way, it's God's church, but you understand you're going to be felt. You're going to feel left off. If you're doing something wrong in this church, you're going to feel left off. You're going to feel like people are against you. And it's not that. It's just here people want to grow. People want to do what's right. But they're not going to ruin their marriage for you. Is that fair? I'm not willing to sacrifice my children for you. Right? Do you think it's fair, Miss Naomi? Please don't get offended. But I think I can use you as an illustration because we have a good relationship. I appreciate you. You're a godly lady. But do you think it would be fair for me if you wanted to speak to me and say, Pastor, I need some counsel? But do you think it would be fair to my wife if I said, well, I need my wife to be there just to keep honest people honest, amen? And if that's okay. Do you think that would be fair to have my wife there? Yeah, right? For my marriage sake, amen? For my marriage sake. And so things don't look bad, right? Right. And my wife is a lady that has given her life to serve others. And by the way, you'll get a woman's perspective. Praise the Lord. Amen. But here's the thing. If in return, Miss Naomi, you were to say, you know what? I don't want your wife there. Then I would have to say, kindly what? Decline. Would you be mad at me for doing that? You shouldn't be. Hey man, this pastor's trying to protect his what? Marriage. Yeah, but you're the man of God, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to sacrifice my marriage. No offense for you. Does that make sense? Okay. Here's another one. Somebody wants to spend time with me. I don't mind. Amen. I don't know why you would want to spend time with me, but I appreciate that. Amen. That's kind of y'all. But do you think if I have a scheduled time with my children, I should take away that time that I have scheduled with my children to spend time with you? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Mm-hmm. Why not?
Because they're your children.
That's my first ministry. Yeah. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Now, what should I do? Set up a time.
Make a time.
Thank you. Schedule a time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my schedule is a little bit too busy, right? Folks, can I tell you something? That's what we need to understand about each other. If somebody can't pick up the phone, guess what? They might have husbands. They might have wives. Maybe. They might have children. They might have jobs. Is that fair? Nobody's going to get mad at somebody because they want to spend time with their wife or they have to go to work to pay their bills. Are you going to pay their bills? Yes? Mm-mm. I'm not going to pay their bills. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. No, I'm not going to pay your bills. Amen? The most I'm going to pay your bills is I pay my taxes. Okay? I give it to Uncle Sam and then you go work through the system. I'm not going to pay your bills. Why? I have my own family to raise. Right? I have my own marriage to invest in. Do you think? Now, I'm not against pastors that do this, okay? I'm not. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But do you think I'm going to go to another ministry, focus on their people, before I focus on you? Nah. Now, I will tell you, there are people that text me. There are young men that text me because I preach in youth conferences in my home church and other things there in the South in Texas. And they'll send me a text. And I'll send them a word of encouragement. Some of them are starting to teach Sunday school class. So I'll help them, Joshua and Cleveland. And here's the thing. I'm not going to let his time dictate and take away from the time I'm going to spend with my son. Zeke is my priority. Ezra is my priority. You follow me? Does that make sense? So we need to get to this place where we understand that the fruit of the Spirit changes how we treat others and how we expect to be treated. That's the fruit of the what? Spirit. So if you and I have a problem with that, do you see? It's not the Holy Ghost. That's for you, not the thing. Yeah. Here's what I want to say. Anyone can smile at church for an hour. Anyone. You know where the real test comes on? In between Sundays, that Monday. Monday through Saturday. Amen. I don't know about you, but amen. Come Monday morning, I'm not smiling. Amen. I need coffee, Brother Tyler. I need coffee. Move out of my kids know. Move out of my way. Amen. My wife. You say, Pastor, it must be rough with you. No, it's not rough, amen. But it is to the point where I need my coffee, amen. I'm an addict. Please pray for your pastor, amen. I'm a caffeine addict, amen. I need it. But here's the thing. Even if I need my coffee, right, I still need to realize, guess what? I should not respond in a mean way to my kids if they get it between me and my coffee, right? Or if my wife, by the way, who's back this early, she's a trooper, amen. I should not respond in a way where, I'm losing my sleep, I'm not going to work, I got calm down, I signed up for this. To death, amen. She's going to make sure of that too. For better or worse, for richer or poor, amen, we got that poor part down. But, you know, we've made a commitment. I'm going to tell you something, I wanted to give up in our marriage, amen. No, I'm kidding. She got hurt. Thursday night, I came to preach. I was going to go to the house. My son, Zeke, he experienced the fact when I had the back surgery. Amen. And I kept saying, don't call mom. Because mom was, where was she? Longview in a volleyball game. Amen. And here's the thing. I told my wife, I'm not going to the hospital. Okay? I'm a Rivera. I don't quit. Okay? And so I'm sitting on the couch. Amen. And then that's when I quit. No, I couldn't get up with Benjamin. I'm like, stuck, man. I'm like, oh, man. Not only was I stuck, it hurt. So I was a little baby, right? I hurt so bad that I felt like, oh, my, I want to cry. But then I saw my son. I'm like, I'm not going to cry. Why are you laughing, Brother Benjamin? Yeah, I'm not going to cry. So I was trying to show him I'm a man, amen? And I didn't have the fruit of the spirits there, amen? I'm trying to hold on to try kind of decompress that slipped disc. And man, when I went down, Zeke, man, is looking at me like, Dad, I'm going to call mom. I'm like, no, you're not. Dad, I'm going to call mom. No, you're not. Obey. But there was Hannah and Elena, too. And Elena's a baby at this time in diapers. And she's like, looking at Hannah, because Hannah's crying a little bit. Pretty tears. She was crying. She's like, Dad, we're just going to the hospital. And then Elena's looking at her like, Dad, go to the hospital, you know. And Zeke's like, I'm calling mom. I said, Zeke, if you do that, you're disobeying. He didn't care. He wanted to go call mom. Amen. And he called mom. I'm thankful to God because I ended up getting back surgery. It was that bad. Amen. My blood pressure was up there. Now, fast forward. Thursday. My wife, stubborn. Just like her husband. Amen. And these kids are misunderstanding that when I say Rivera's don't quit, it means like be stubborn. That's not what I'm saying. Amen. When you need help, you gotta say, you know, help. But they're following their dad's example and their mom. My wife, Zeke's like, I'm gonna call dad. She's like, no, don't call dad, because she was on the floor. She was hurting. Zeke calls, my wife's gonna be so upset, praise the Lord. Zeke calls me. I'm here getting everything ready. I texted Brother Jeremiah. I'm like, Brother Jerry, can you please to step in? And probably Brother Jeremiah, he doesn't know what's going on because I'm not filling him in with the details, right? I'm just saying, can you please preach? This is like, what, 30 minutes maybe? 20 minutes until that Thursday? So I'm heading home. Zeke is calling me to, you know, I need to take you to the hospital. My wife calls me back. She's like, you better not come here. Turn right back around. And I'm like, well, whatever happened to the fruit of the Spirit? And so I turn right back around. And I'm like, are you sure? She's like, what did I tell you? If you come here, I'm going to be upset. I'm like, so I turned around. I turned around, finished that Thursday night. Talked about the Holy Spirit, getting to know the Holy Spirit. Well, I got to know the Holy Spirit a little bit better that night. Amen. That whole night, my wife was not able to sleep because of the pain. It was excruciating. So, yeah, you know, we're working on it. 3:30 in the morning is a time where she finally was able to go to sleep. But I wasn't that happy with it because I finally convinced my wife, hey, I'm going to take you to the ER. Think about it, okay? I just finished church, 7-something, 7:30. I went home, right? So 3:30 in the morning, we're awake. These kids are snoring. We're awake. And I'm trying to convince her. She finally gives in. She finally gives in. And I'm like, yes. So I'm like, I'm going to go take a quick shower. And then we're heading out. Done with the shower, come back, and she's asleep. And I'm like, oh. I know you need rest, right? Especially if there's an impingement. I understand that. So I'm like, I'm looking at her. I'm like, hey, do I want to wake her up? Don't wake her up. It's not because I was getting in trouble. I'm grown. I don't get in trouble. But I was looking at her, and I'm like, finally she's getting rest, Brother Benjamin. And I'm thinking, I was going to let her rest. So I stood up till like 5:30. I'm not a martyr. But that's the time when I got to know the Holy Spirit a little bit more. You follow me? I'm there talking to God and saying, God, thank you for this time that we're going through, because even though it's uncomfortable, I'm spending more time with you. I just want to ask you to please be with my wife. Help her. Bring some comfort for her, you know? She ended up sleeping. Woke up at... Oh, no. At 6 o'clock, he went to work, Haley. And I'm trying to tell Haley, shh, be quiet. So I'm awake during this whole time. That morning, do you think I was like the friendliest person? No sleep? I usually wake up really early, okay? So I hadn't gotten that rest. You follow me? I didn't go to sleep until later on after Haley left. I'm telling you this story because I wanted to treat everybody like I had a chip on my shoulder. And guess what? If you're standing in my way, I'm shooting everything moving. Amen? In my household. But you know why I didn't do it? You know why I ended up getting up again at 9 o'clock, amen? I'm like, oh, getting up at 9 o'clock because my wife needed me. This is what I'm telling you. This is what the Holy Spirit is about. The Holy Spirit changes us, but it changes how we treat others, not how we want to treat others. That's the difference. Did I want some recognition? Of course, my flesh did. I didn't care about that at that time. I cared about the love of my life is on the floor crying. I need to get her to, you know what? She got better. I need to attend to her. I don't care if it's like help her, you know, sit down, get up, put covers on her feet. I couldn't think, and I know it's only a day or two, amen, but I couldn't think, oh, my sleep. I couldn't think about my back. I couldn't think about things of that nature. I had to think, I need to be here for her. And some of you understand that with your spouses. I need to make sure the schedule's set. No excuses. Why? That's Holy Spirit stuff. That's when you tap into that. Because nobody wants to go without sleep, especially if it's not fun, right? Amen? But when you love, that's a quality from the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. The other point was going to be the fruit of the Spirit gives us victory over ourselves. The greatest battle, folks, isn't against the culture or the politics in Washington, D.C., or, again, the culture in Hollywood. The greatest battle that we ever will face is the one going on inside of us. temperance, when the Bible talks about that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, that just means self-control. Meekness means strength under control. Well, you know what happens when we walk in the Spirit of God? It means allowing God to control our responses instead of the flesh. As the piano plays, many of us have been there.